Wisconsin. There we go. Another rainy day in western Wisconsin. Hopefully we get enough out of our system to we've got some drought conditions that are starting to show up on the maps here across the northern part of the state. So hopefully we get a little bit of relief before we resume our summer already in progress. Mark Jacob with us for one more segment here, former editor at the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times. We're talking about how the media covers democracy and politics these days. Sunday mornings are always an adventure. And for example, Florida Senator Rick Scott was on with Face of the Nation rather on CBS. Right. And you hear Rick Scott's name probably a little more often in Wisconsin than you normally would, simply because he has put out a plan, and he is the head of, you know, the Senate Republican campaign committee, and his plan would lead to, you know, big cuts to Medicare and Social Security. And he talks about, you know, cutting costs for Medicare. And so when CBS's Margaret Brennan politely corrected him, you know, you and others correctly put, he knows that this is a lie. So why doesn't she just go ahead and say, Senator Scott, why are you lying about Medicare costs?
Right. The idea that cutting Medicare costs is the same thing as cutting Medicare is outrageously dishonest. And yet he's going to go on a nationwide TV show and pretend that's the case. I mean, that's such an insult to the viewers and to everyone. And so, but she, and very politely, she says, well, you realize that there's a difference between cutting costs and cutting benefits. And good for her doing that, although she's not really that tough on most people she interviews. But really, that's where you just stop the show. And that's where you stop the show and say, Senator Scott, you know that they're not cutting Medicare. They're cutting Medicare costs, which is a good thing for consumers. You know that. You know they're not, that nobody's going to lose any benefits whatsoever. You know that. Why are you lying about this issue? That would be good television, and that would also be good journalism.
It would be, and we used to see it. And I don't mean to be accused of the beatification of Tim Russert, but I'm going to engage in this because we're not. I don't feel like we're romanticizing the past when we say this is the kind of thing where Tim Russert did put up a big stop sign and go, hold on. And not only did he stop a guest, but he already had the Chiron ready. He already had the graphics ready. Here's what you said before. And I know that sounds a lot like old guys talking about the good old days, but my memory, I think, is pretty clear on that. And in the sense that it wasn't that he was so great. It's that since that time, so few people have risen to that level.
I think it goes back to the access issue, because when you think about how seldom Republicans will go on regular news media these days, that they you know, hide behind the Fox News a barrier. And for example, like Herschel Walker, for example, you're not going to see him on any of those shows because he's been hit too many times or during football games, apparently, because he's really not able to discuss issues. He's just a mess, which is an insult to the electorate committed by both McConnell and Trump, who both endorsed him. But so they're hiding their terrible politicians. Only a few will venture out from behind the wall to go on these national news shows. And that's why I think some of the news shows feel like they have to treat them with kid gloves, because if they don't, because if these Republicans do not go on their air anymore, then they're in real trouble as far as their pretense that they're being objective. That threatens their ability to say that, well, we're fair to everyone if the Republicans won't go on. So I think that's part of why they're so nice to liars on TV.
And I think that part of the reason they need to get over that is that it's not the marketplace it used to be, where if you didn't get them on your show, you wouldn't have any access to what they're saying. But we now have an ecosystem where they are appearing on Fox or on, you know, One America or Newsmax, right, whatever they are. And you don't have to have them as a guest to play the clips back from what they have said. And then either the journalist or an expert can dissect it from there.
Right. Totally right. Totally right. And that would be a far better approach. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I was railing yesterday about the fact that they had Mick Mulvaney on CNN, just a lie, like he does all the time. And you know, they had Kellyanne Conway a few weeks ago, and I'm thinking, who did they not have on their show while they were having those people on? You know, there's a thing in programming, where in TV programming, where you really want to go. That's why they pay people to be on TV, because they know if they call them, they have to show up. And but it's, you know, it's 24/7. They have to keep going. It's hard to get people to show up sometimes when they're supposed to. But TV needs to try a lot harder to diversify its voices, in my opinion. I would love to, like the professor we had on a few minutes ago, who was terrific. Just find experts, find people who know things, find smart people, put them on the air. Don't put the same old goofs. Don't put John Bolton on the air just because his publicist said he was available. Don't do that. And it's, to a large extent, TV news is so bad because they don't want to work hard enough to make it better.
It's the, yeah, it's performance. And yeah. That's not how it started, and it's not how it should be. Let's turn to the January 6th committee, which prior to this summer's hearings, I didn't know, you know, what, if anything, was going to come of it. And then they had, you know, again, forgive the entertainment framing, but they had the summer blockbuster. Yeah. And it got a lot of people to say, oh, wait a minute, you know, about Trump, people who had supported him. But, you know, the American attention span is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so it leads to this question. Yes, during the summer, in a lot of focus groups, people that suddenly showed they were less inclined to support Trump might now start to, you know, drift back the other way, especially now after the search warrants and everything else. What's your own sense of, between now and the midterm elections, what the January 6th committee is going to do, and or the Department of Justice, and whether any of this will have true impact?
Well, I don't think we're going to find out anything as far as charges from the DOJ. I think we may get more subpoenas and may get more people like Scott Perry get their phones seized and stuff like that, which I think will be great because it'll show that they're on the case. But I don't think we're going to get that. I do think that the J6 committee will be back and we'll probably have more hearings. I hope they will. It sounds like they're getting more evidence. And those hearings have been terrific. I mean, they've been so well constructed. They've not been boring at all. They've been interesting. They've had to just show the evidence, and they've been quoting a lot of Republicans. This is not this idea that it's partisan. You know, well, how come all the Republicans are exposing Trump's crimes? So I think it's been very effective. I mean, yeah. Some people you're never going to convince some people, but it's been very effective.
All right, Mark Jacob, this was great. Thanks so much. Look forward to chatting with you again real soon.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Pat.
All right, have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll take a break. More coming up in our next hour. You're up north.